This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Wow, boys and girls, it's 6 minutes past seven, and this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight, you are joined by Dill, and I have got a special guest co-host by the name of Mitchell from Minus 18. How are we tonight, Mitchell?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm marvelous. I'm always marvelous. That's just how I roll. Well, you're part of Minus 18, and you had a pretty cool event going off over the weekend that was the same-sex formal. Is that correct?
Yeah, on Saturday, we had the Minus 18 same-sex formal, which had around, I think it was about 450 LGBTIQ youth attending. It was absolutely fantastic.
450 young LGBTI community members went along to this. Now, that's insane. How many do you know attended, say, last year?
Last year we had a capacity of about 400, I think, and we hit it straight way before the event.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Now, the thing that I love the most about the same-sex formal run by Minus is that you can sponsor a ticket. So, say you're an older LGBTI community member like myself who's not allowed to go due to age restrictions, but I can purchase a ticket for a young person, someone under 18 who cannot afford to get a ticket to go to the formal. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can. We had an absolutely amazing turnout for the sponsored tickets and some very generous sponsors.
So, when can people start buying tickets?
Well, for the next formal, the date obviously isn't set yet because it's next year. But if you follow us on Facebook or go to minus18.org.au, we'll have posts and everything when you can buy tickets and sponsor tickets for queer youth who may not be able to afford it.
I think that is such a fantastic campaign. Like, really awesome. Look, I didn't go to the formal over the weekend, but I did actually. I've gotten a year older. I hit 24 yesterday.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, my God. What? No, I'm getting closer to that age where I'm like, I'm not actually a youth. I'm moving to that part where it's 25 is the last year of youth. That's the last year. And then I'm like, I'm not a youth. I'm a man. A manly man.
You're growing up in front of us. We can't believe it.
Clearly. I know. It's crazy and stuff. Look, tonight on Generation Next, we'll be speaking with Adam Bandt, Federal Member of Parliament for Melbourne. We've got Warwick Glynn coming on a little bit later on. He's the writer of the queer comedy play Never Say Always, which is the sequel to the hit comedy play From Arseholes to Breakfast. Now, the Never Say Always is... it's premiering tomorrow night, I do believe.
I think so. I have no idea.
Well, we can ask Warwick when he comes on. But yeah, it's premiering tomorrow night. And it's part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. So they'll be running over the weekend as well. I'm going tomorrow night. I'm really excited to go see it. Me and my housemate, we're going to go on a little bit of a date.
Ooh.
Yeah, her and I are going to have so much fun. And we have a very special guest on tonight. We've got a musical guest all the way from Ballarat. She's a part of Zark, which is a fantastic support group for LGBTI youth out in Ballarat and the greater west. Is Ballarat west? I have no idea where Ballarat
it's
is.
It's sort of northwest.
So, like, would I safe to say that it's a support group for, like, the greater northwest area of Victoria?
Regional Victoria.
Regional Victoria. Yeah, there we go.
Fair enough.
There we go.
That one works.
We have got so much more coming up on Generation Next right after this.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, this is Marsha Hines, and you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9.
14 minutes past 7. You are listening to Joy 94.9. This is Dill and Mitchell on Generation Next, the home of news and critical information for the LGBTI youth. Our first guest tonight is Adam Bandt, the Australian Greens Member of Parliament for Melbourne. Adam was a member of the multi-party committee on climate change, which negotiated the Clean Futures Package, including a price on pollution and a $13 billion investment in clean and renewable energy. He has also represented many unions and worked on cases involving freedom of speech and implementation of international covenants into Australian law. If at any point throughout this conversation tonight you'd like to join in, then feel free to send us a text on 0427 Joy 949, call front desk on 1300 Joy 949, or you can send us an email on onair@joy.org.au. Adam, thank you so much for coming into Gen Next. Yeah,
thanks for having me on.
I guess, first off, Mitchell, do you want to take this first question?
So, Adam, as the federal member of parliament from Melbourne, can you talk us through what you and the Greens have done for the city?
Yeah, well, as people may remember, last election was a pretty interesting one. I mean, it was the first time that we got someone from the Greens into the lower house of parliament at a federal election. And of course, and that's for the electorate of Melbourne that I represent.
That was you who the first Greens party member to get into the federal
Into the lower house in the federal parliament. We've got senators, of course, and have had for some time, but winning a seat in the lower house was pretty significant for us. And of course, it came at a time when no other party had a majority in parliament. And so I found myself the morning after the election with voicemail messages from Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott, both wanting to talk and saying, well, can you help us form government? We need your support. And what we did was we sat down and had discussions with Labor, with Julia Gillard, and agreed that Labor would form parliament, but in return for certain things. And one was, as you mentioned before, putting a price on pollution and getting some money into clean and renewable energy. Another, which I'm particularly proud of, was starting to get dental into Medicare, so that from the start of next year, all under 18s, or between 2 and 18, pretty much everyone in the country, you'll be able to just take your Medicare card to the dentist to get free dental treatment for young people, which is something that's, I mean, it's a wealthy country here in Australia.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are really suffering and are ending up in hospital from preventable things because they haven't been able to get to the dentist because it's been too expensive. So we got that through. We've got some action on high-speed rail on the east coast. I want to see high-speed rail.
So Mitchell's just fist pumping to this right now.
Yeah, for those who know me, I'm sort of the public transport nerd around minus and everything else. I didn't actually know about the dental and Medicare thing, to be honest.
So. Yeah, well, look, it was pretty important for us. I think that having the first role of government, I think, is to look after the country's people and environment. And the gap between rich and poor is growing, and that's having consequences for people's health. And you really notice that with teeth. And it's not just a health thing. Like, if you are missing your teeth or your teeth aren't that good, you're probably less likely to get a job when you turn up for an interview and so on, as well as all the other health effects.
So, Adam, it's a well-known fact that the LGBTI people are at least 2 to 3 times more likely to experience depression and anxiety than the broader community. I guess, where does the LGBTI community sit within the Greens' agenda, and why should the LGBTI youth cast their votes in support of the Greens Party and yourself?
Because in the House of Representatives, I'll be the alternative voice that will continue to stand up for the community. The first motion that I got through Parliament was to get all members of Parliament to go back and consult with their electorates about equal marriage. And the reason I did that was because, you know, Australian public opinion has moved on, but the Parliament hasn't. And members of Parliament are still stuck in some pretty old ways of thinking that I think is out of touch with what their constituents actually want. That's certainly what every survey says.
Well, look, I know that Mitchell has a follow-up question to this, but I'd just like to ask your opinion on the matter. Now, there have been certain, I guess, older politicians that have said the same thing. Now, the Labor and Liberal governments, they don't want to address this. The heads don't want to address this because they're scared they they may lose out votes in the conservative votes within their party. Do you think that might be the case, why they don't wish to support same-sex?
It's absolutely a large part of why they're doing it, and they're scared that they believe that well-organised conservative groups will come and campaign in their electorates against them, and they're worried about that. And I think it's just it's a matter of having some pretty old-fashioned values. And whereas I think the Australian population has moved on, I mean, they understand it's the right thing to do. And for me, and I've got a bill in Parliament, which I'll progress again in the lead-up to the election, and we've got one in the Senate as well. And for me, it's about... I mean, it's about equality, it's about freedom of choice, but it's also about the message that we send to everyone. I mean, we talked about the school formal before. You know, there are people who are trying to take their partners to school formals in Victoria at the moment and are being told, no, you can't do it. And there are young people in country towns who are working out who they're attracted to and facing all the difficulties that can come along with that. And the Australian Parliament needs to send all those young people a very clear message that your love is equal. And for so long as we continue to have two tiers of love in this society and to be able to say some people can get married and some people can't, we're sending the wrong message and we need to fix it.
So how do you feel about organisations such as Minus 18 and smaller community-based LGBT support networks, as well as the Minus 18 recent same-sex home, which happened on Saturday, which the theme was Same Love?
Yeah, look, I think absolutely crucial. These are exactly the kind of organisations that need to be funded. I mean, this is why we have a government, to care for people and to look after people. I mean, when you're, I mean, I'm telling you things that you know and no doubt that your listeners know, but for many people, being at school and working out when you're young, who you're attracted to, can for some people be, when they're surrounded by people who are supportive, be an okay experience. But for others, they will rely on organisations like yours to come along and feel genuinely, you know, part of the community.
So Tony Abbott is a well-known climate change skeptic. If Mr. Abbott is elected as the Prime Minister, he has desired to make the Climate Commissioner position redundant after revoking the carbon tax. What is your expected outcome if the Climate Change Department is dismantled and merged with the Environment Department in government? And should the young people of Australia be concerned by the climate change skeptic discourse that is coming from the leader of the opposition?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've had the privilege over the last couple of years of I went to Germany for a week to look at their renewable energy, and there you have the Conservative Chancellor Angela Merkel standing in front of wind farms saying what a great thing this is if we can power our country by wind.
And that's a Conservative Party.
That's a Conservative. And you have the Conservative Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, David Cameron, saying we need to double our carbon tax because we're just not getting wind farms built quickly enough. And then you come to Australia and you've got this man who says the science of climate change is crap. I think people should be very concerned about what his real plans for Australia are. I think they're quite extreme. And I'm, you know, a little worried about what a future under Tony Abbott might hold.
Now, we're nearly out of time. I do have a final question for you. Now, look, the Reserve Bank of Australia has declared that Australia's big four banks are amongst some of the highest profitable in the world. However, consumers are still being hit with large fees, and the government gives banks subsidies worth billions of dollars a year. How is this viewed by the Greens Party, and what protections can the party provide, say, the citizens of Melbourne, which is now ranked as the fourth most expensive city in the world by the Economist Intelligence?
Look, our banks are some of the most profitable in the world. They're making a mozza and they're making the money out of us. We should start by getting rid of those $2 ATM fees. Like, to be charged for the privilege of accessing your own money is just unacceptable, really, and other countries do not do it. So we need to do that. And I want to see them pay a fair share of tax so that we've got money to fund schools and to fund healthcare and so on. And they're making these huge profits, sending most of it to the pockets of private shareholders. So I'd say they can pay a bit more so the rest of us can pay a bit less. And can I just say lastly, if you're listening to this and you're not sure whether you're enrolled to vote, please make sure you are. There are so many young people who are eligible to vote and who are not enrolled to vote, especially in Melbourne, where you can have a massive impact. So you can check on the AEC site. My site, adamband.com/enroll, has got a thing you can check whether you're enrolled. I would just urge, whatever you're going to do, please make sure you're enrolled to vote for September's election.
Because do you think it's going to be like, say, last election where it was... Yeah, you know, it came very much down to the wire, or do you think it's going to be a landslide? Because looking at the polls, it's a clear indication that the Labor government is not that strong right now.
Well, look, if an election were held tomorrow, the polls certainly suggest it'd be a majority Abbott government. That's why you need Greens in the House of Representatives to take the fight up to him, and because you know that we'll stand up for what we believe in. But also, especially in the Senate, I think Tony Abbott having control of both houses of Parliament is not a good idea.
That scares me. That scares me quite a lot.
So thank you so much, Adam Batt, for coming by and being on the show and showing us what you got. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. We've got a stack load of show left for you all right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to Generation Next, a show for charismatic, charming, attractive, funny young people like myself on Joy 94.9.
It's 7:31. This is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're joined tonight by me, Mitchell, and Dylan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we are here with Warwick Glynn, who's not sure if he can be referred to as a playwright, but he has definitely left his mark with his play From Arseholes to Breakfast back in 2010. He's ready to do it all again with his latest play, Never Say Always, the sequel From Arseholes to Breakfast. I just love the name of that title, which is debuting this week. Generation Next, we give you Warwick Glynn.
Hello, boys.
How are you tonight, Warwick?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very excited because we open tomorrow night.
So what is Never Say Always about?
Well, it's basically about marriage equality, and it follows two guys as they go from proposal to wedding. And the wedding takes place in Bali because they cannot legally get married in Australia. So they think, well, bugger it. Let's go somewhere that's going to be sunny and fun and all our friends can have a holiday and we'll have a wedding anyway.
Sounds fantastic.
So, and also, there's a gala. What can you tell us about the gala?
Yeah, on Wednesday night, we're having a fundraiser for Australian marriage equality. So all tickets are $40 and proceeds from that are going straight to Australian Marriage Equality. And the really exciting thing is Rodney Croom, who's the National Director of AME, is going to be here and he's going to speak briefly after the show.
Now, for people missed out on From Arseholes to Breakfast, can you give us a bit of a bio or a rundown on what that play was about?
Yeah, it was about Joe and Steve. And Steve was this perennially single guy who kept sabotaging every relationship he ever had. So he got to about 32, 33, something like that, and he met Joe. And Joe was the only person who could sort of get him to finally commit. So they had a few misadventures along the way. And, you know, it's a bit like the old-fashioned story where boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl again. But it's boy meets boy, boy loses boy, boy gets boy again.
And, so it's something we can all identify with.
Exactly.
Well, at least the gay male population.
Now, we left the first play on a bit of a cliffhanger because Joe suffered a stroke. And so From Arseholes to Breakfast finishes with Joe in hospital in a coma.
Right.
So what was it like writing the sequel From Arseholes to Breakfast?
It was really interesting because having performed the production as part of 2010's Midsummer, I now had actors to work with, and so in some ways the actors then melded with the characters and they sort of drove, you know, how I was writing for the sequel. So it's fun. It was easy to write.
Now, look, what inspires you to write and create not only this play but like anything else, like any of your other works?
Well, I have to admit it's kind of autobiographical. There's no character that's me and there's no character that's my husband, Darren, or there's no character that's my mum or dad or friends, but they're all, you know, they draw from characteristics of friends and family and some of the you know, funny things that have happened along the way. And in fact, Darren and I got married in 2006 in Montreal. So our thinking was, well, not legal here. Why don't we get married where it is legal? And it was great. We were actually there for the World Out Games, and I swim with the Glamourhead Sharks, and we had about 40 team members, and they all came to our wedding.
Oh, that is adorable.
That's really lovely.
So if there are any budding writers listening to Generation Next Night, what advice can you give them if they're looking to write a play of their own?
Well, I would. What worked for me was when I was in a place where there was absolutely nothing else to do but contend with, you know, the story whirling around my head. And that place for the first play was Heathrow Airport, where I was stranded for about 14 hours. So if you're ever stranded, you know, or if you're on a long flight, or you know, there's nothing else to do, if you happen to have a little notepad or a, you know, laptop computer or something, just start writing down some of your thoughts. And they don't have to be crafted into, you know, a play straight away. Just write some of the things down that, you know, that move you or make you laugh or that, you know, give you cause for concern or whatever. And you never know, you might have the beginnings of a play.
That's really cool advice. We're almost out of time, but how long is the play running for, and are there tickets still available?
There are tickets available, and it only goes for a week. So it opens tomorrow night, that's the 9th of April, and closes on Sunday the 14th. So if you want to come and see it, and I would urge everybody who is interested in marriage equality to come along, get a little bit political, but also have a laugh at the same time. And it's here in Brunswick at the Mechanics Institute Theatre, which is a great little theatre on the corner of Sydney Road and Glen Lyon Road. But it only goes for a week. So if they jump onto the website,
which is www.neversayalways.com.au.
Absolutely. You can buy tickets online.
Oh, fantastic. Well, hey, Warwick, I will be there tomorrow night with my housemate. Her and I are really, really excited to see this, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, I'm so glad you're coming. Make sure you say hello after the show.
Oh, most certainly. Warwick, thank you so much for coming by and sharing that story about Never Say Always. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for coming on Gen Next.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, I'll see you tomorrow, champ.
Okay. See you
then. Bye, Warwick. Bye, Warwick. Wow. He's really nice.
I know, right?
Well, that was Warwick Glynn talking on Generation Next about Never Say Always, which is opening tomorrow, the 9th of April. For any more details, jump on www.neversayalways.com.au. And tonight, we've got a bit of a guest.
Yes, we have a Jennifer Rose, and we sort of have a Gen Next exclusive here, don't we?
Yeah, we most certainly do. If you'd like to tell us how you are thinking about Jennifer's performance tonight, or what your take on that is, feel free to send us a text message on 0427JOY949. Our line is open for your feedback. This most certainly is a Generation Next exclusive.
Generation Next! Love it.
Straight, finally leaving this place. I stay too long the wrong crowd. I'm heading to nature, where I found. When I fly up to heaven, I'm free like a bird. Sky, when I fly up to the heavens, I'm free like a bird in the sky. Now it's time to say hello, 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 hello to all the people who smile, yeah, yeah, especially to the butterflies passing by, yeah. I let go. When I fly up to heaven, I'm free like a bird in the sky. When I fly up to the heaven, I'm free like a bird in the sky. Thank you.
astray. Said I'm finally leaving this place.
The perfect mix of music, news, and interviews. Joy 94.9.
That was a Generation Next exclusive.
I really liked that. That was great.
It most certainly was. Now, Jennifer Rose, what can you tell us about that song?
I wrote that song when I was on an aeroplane. Actually left Melbourne to change myself and my life, and it worked. And I came back and I moved to Ballarat and actually have been performing that song for the last year and a half. So.
Oh, lovely. Now, you're a part of Zuck, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, what can you tell, for anyone who may not know about Zuck, what can you tell us about that amazing organisation?
What I can say is that if you come to Zuck, you can come in whoever you are and we'll accept you. And it's so much fun and so much creativity. I can just say that if you want to be a part of it, you're welcome. It's run through the space in Ballarat, YHQ, and it's an amazing, amazing thing. I can't really say much. You have to come and talk to us. It's really...
Because I know that Marcus, he's come on Generation X before and he is a solid gun and he's also a part of Zark as well. So I think from yourself, Marcus, if you two are anything to go by or indicative of the nature of that organization, it is probably the most chilled out, loved up vibe.
It certainly is. And he is a legend of a friend. He welcomed me first when I went to Zark.
Yeah.
And he guided me along the way and introduced me also to you. So thanks, Marcus. Shout out.
Shout out to Marcus. Yeah. Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Melbourne's most uplifting station gives you the most fantastic shows daily. Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This is Generation Next, the home of LGBTI youth affairs. It's currently 7:43, which means it's about time for gay school.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's gay school.
I always feel really embarrassed after the musical guests come on to sing. It's just like, yeah, they just rock it. And I'm like, oh, I can't really sing.
It's just, damn you and your talent.
How dare you? Gay school, kicking it off. Gay marriage proposal during a garbage concert. A recent concert by the alternative rock group Garbage was put on hold halfway through as the stage was given order to a wedding proposal between two male fans. Last week in Detroit, the band, which has a loyal LGBTI following, stopped their concert at the midpoint as frontwoman Shirley Manson brought two male fans, Scott and Dominic, on stage. Manson proceeded to explain to the expectant audience how Scott had been in contact with the band via Facebook, espousing the virtues of his super amazing boyfriend, and that Manson and Scott have talked about a few other things. The fiery Scottish frontwoman then handed over the spotlight to the fans, telling Scott, "It's all yours, baby doll." Scott then attempted to get through a proposal to Dominic as a completely surprised and supportive audience cheered them on. How amazing would that be?
That is just adorable, and I'm just fangirling over here. I'm having all the feels.
Honestly, if Shirley Manson tipped her hat for me to get married and was like, "It's all yours, baby doll," I think I'll be honest, my boyfriend might be listening tonight, but I would probably be like, "No, Shirley, can you marry me?" Like, okay, I love Shirley Manson. I mean, Garbage 2.0 was one of the greatest movies. Am I correct or what?
I don't really know much about Garbage.
Moving on, Mitchell. Just, yeah. Next article. I'm dismayed.
Stop judging me.
I can't. I can't stop rolling my eyes. I'm sorry. I'm having a moment in my own little mind here. Yes. Gay school.
So David Letterman has vented his frustration against same-sex marriage as the issue continues to dominate headlines in the United States. Last week, the United States Supreme Court held 2 days of oral arguments on marriage equality issues. David Letterman sat down with gay MSNBC news anchor Rachel Maddow earlier this week to discuss the cases and was not shy about discussing his dislike of anti-gay discrimination. "I'm just sick and tired of this, and I think it's really crossed the line of being nonsense," he said to Maddow. This ongoing, politically nuanced, religiously nuanced discussion of gay marriage, gay rights, is absolute stupidity. Humans have the right to do what humans do. That's it. End of story. There's no argument. There's no exception. Humans have the right, and they get to do what humans get to do. Case closed. Good night.
Thank you, Letterman. I love Letterman. I always stay up to watch Letterman.
I'm a Conan fan, to be
honest. You're a Conan.
I love Conan.
You know what? I think that they both have a different part of my heart. One's the left chamber, one's the right.
Team Coco.
Team Coco. Yeah, no, you're still not redeemed from garbage. Labour senator at risk. The parliamentary career of openly gay federal senator and longtime LGBTI rights advocate Louise Pratt is at risk due to infighting between union movements in her home state of Western Australia. The West Australian newspaper reported today that Labour senator's candidacy in the WA Senate ticket was threatened due to a disagreement between Australian Metal Workers Union, who backs Pratt, and the Hospitality Union United Voice. The AMWU was accused of repeatedly trying to do deals behind the rest of the WA Labor Left movement. United Voice WA Secretary Caroline Smith said that they were sick of game playing with the AMWU. In 2007, Pratt was elected to the federal parliament. There she has advocated for LGBTI rights, including in her role and the Legal Constitutional Affairs Legislation Committee. She has also supported gay marriage equality and gave an impassioned speech on the issue last year, just days before the vote. "I ask senators in this chamber to remember, when they are deciding how to vote, we exist, we already exist, our relationships exist, our children exist, our families exist, our marriage exists, and our love exists." That's a quote from Pratt. How awesome is that quote? That's,
I know,
like,
right?
Reading that, I felt really empowered and really strong.
We'll get all sassy and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to snap a finger.
Oh, girl.
Wow, no, I'm still writhing over the garbage. Okay,
yeah,
I need to get out there. Look, text in 0427JOY949 about how amazing garbage the band is and Shirley Manson, because I feel like for the younger generation, if they're like, how old are you, Mitchell?
I'm 18.
You're 18.
Well,
okay.
19 in July.
19 in July. You're still 18. So look, this is troubling me, and I feel like I'm turning into that like scary old guy on the bus who's like, you should know about the music back in my day. But like, garbage, come on. Text in, people. Listeners of Joy, you should know about Shirley Manson and garbage. 0427JOY949. Tell me how much you love them.
See, we don't have the crazy people on the buses in my area. We just have the people who whinge about how crap it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Even though we get a bus every 15 minutes.
I don't think public transport's fun without a crazy person.
Mm.
Look, you know what? They make the trip.
Coming in here this afternoon, there was some crazy woman at, you know, the stop near Parliament Station?
Yeah.
The one up Albert and Nicholson or something like that?
Yeah.
She just started there, and she just started standing next to me and just talking about how tram drivers were out to get her. And
do you know what? Sometimes, okay, I catch a lot of trams, and I really think that there is, like, Yarra trams have a vendetta against me.
Well,
honestly.
I have a photo that I came back coming from a miners event about 2 years ago now, and there was this blow up doll in the driver compartment with the driver on the 96.
That is amazing. That is amazing. You just don't see that anymore.
We'll post it on the Facebook.
I think so. I think that has to be like a Gen Next update.
Yeah.
You got another article for
yes,
us?
Yes, we do. So Victoria Police are expanding their internal training on hate crimes this month and have just released a documentary showing LGBTIQ advocates working with the law enforcement cadets. They're also updating how they collect information from police reports of prejudice-motivated crimes, PMCs, to better record these incidents. Many crimes motivated by prejudice still go unreported, according to Victoria's Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. I love Gabby. She's a liaison officer who comes to my events. She's perfect.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that a special shout out to Gabby?
Yeah, there we go. She made me dance at my first event.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was so awkward.
Were you pop locking? Oh, yeah. Lock and drop it. I can't really pop lock, but I can dad dance.
We clearly twerked it.
Okay, look, we're getting... this is a such I know an we're important going off article, track, but I just have to say, look, after the show last week, I was joined by Little Fish's producer and host, Hannah, and Hannah can twerk, okay? Not to, like, she is this, like, sexy, sassy white girl, but she can twerk. She, there was, it was crazy the way she could move her booty. I was like, wow, that is to behold. I wish I could twerk. I really can't.
I can't either. It's just, like, an attempt. You tried.
I just kind of, like, I don't know, dance like Kristen Wiig and hope people laugh and then go, are they laughing at me or with me?
So should we try and get like back on topic?
Oh yeah, why not? That's what we're here for. Gay school, yeah.
Yeah, woo. So last month, Victoria Police launched a film documenting the Community Encounters Academy program, giving it insight in how the LGBTI community and other communities were helping train police and protective service officers. Quote, I think many queer people I have had problems with the police in the past. What the hell? That is missing words, apparently.
Actually from Sally Goldner, and what she was saying was, I think like many queer people, I've had problems with the police in the past, but it seems that there were genuine change in culture wanting to realize there was a range of possibilities to deal with situations instead of a one size fits all. Sally Goldner, for anyone who doesn't know, she's a transgender rights advocate and she works her butt off for the trans community.
Sorry, I derped out there for a moment and just forgot how to word, clearly.
I don't think we can say derped out, but you know what? That is a word that comes out in my vocab.
It's too trashy for radio, clearly.
Too trashy.
Too internet, too Tumblr.
Joy 94.9 is not a trashy station, and neither is Generation Next a trashy program, my dear friend Mitchell, even though you don't know about garbage. Yeah, I'm never going to let you live that down.
Yeah, you won't, will you?
Forever and ever in your days.
Do you like Amanda Palmer, though?
I love Amanda Palmer.
I kissed her once.
Do you know what?
Are you jealous?
Well, I think I might make you a bit jelly. I used to dance in an event called Melbourne Dark Events, and it was like for all like goth alternative subculture, and we used to have Dresden Dolls sometimes come and perform with us. So we'd have Amanda Palmer right up in front, and can I just say, she is the most amazing person in the world. She is so lovely. But you know what? When I first met her when I was about like 18, 19, about your age, Mitchell, way back in the day. I think I just made some vowel sounds and then I had to walk away. It was just like, Dylan. It just went really high and really awkward. And I was like, I've got to remove myself from this situation.
We've gone off track again, haven't we?
We most certainly have. It's a little bit good. We're having discussions.
Yes. Anyway, should I just like finish off this and then?
Why not? Yeah. Why not? While we're here.
Yeah.
While we're young. I have not that much time like left being young.
A year now?
A year now. Well, okay. So once I hit 26, I'm no longer youth. I'm 24 now. So it's like 2 years.
Damn.
2 years.
Damn.
It's like, I feel like there's that hourglass behind me. Just like... Yes. It's like the grains of sand.
Yep.
Finish your article.
It's unclear how many LGBTI people are affected by hate crime since PMC statistics, specifically on the basis of sexuality or gender identity, are not yet publicly available since the force began collecting the data in 2011, which is crap, I think. It should be available for everyone.
Look, this is just... It's a whole lot of people not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot of people just being, I guess, overwhelmed, but it's just annoying more than anything because it shouldn't be made out to be this difficult and this hard. It is ridiculous.
Bureaucracy.
And it's insane. And I think with organizations like the Anti-Violence Commission, where we need to actually, like, when we do have an issue, when we have come across a moment of strain where it is like we've been physically assaulted or verbally assaulted, you need to report it. And then if things aren't happening, you know, you have to make noise.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You have to make noise. And who doesn't like a good whinge? I love a good whinge. In fact, I whinge all the time. And I've been doing it today. Yeah. I've been doing it on this show, this very show right now. I was just going to say, I just looked at the time. It is 4 minutes to eight. We have got to get out of here. But coming up right after Generation Next is the amazing Worldwide Waves. Now, they're taking us over to Malaysia for this episode. And you should stick around for them because they are fantastic.
Ooh, Malaysia. I've never been there. I've never actually been out of the country.
Neither have I. I'm scared of flying. But I'm out of here, guys. Have a good one. See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.